This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. An exhibition focused on refugees opened last weekend, featuring works by six photojournalists and photographers from Turkey, Syria, Russia, France, and Malaysia. The mission of the exhibition, which is aided by Think City, is through the use of images, writings, and talks to initiate positive actions to reach a better understanding of the present crisis, that is, the refugee crisis. With me today are two of the six photographers, Rahman Roslan and Roland Navu. Also here is Patrice Vallette of Visioncy that has organized this exhibition, which will be traveling to other cities, and we'll talk about those other cities shortly. First question for you, Patrice, is how did this project come about, and how did you decide on these six photojournalists that you would use?
For me, what is important is the photographers, is the people behind the images and the images. The thematic was also very important. So it all starts with Coşkun Aral, one of the photographers that I know quite well. And he's been showing me his work from 1990, the era in Iraq, Turkish border. So this is how we start to talk about this work. And then he's been introducing me Roland Navu. And then after, it's just a question of time, research, and then we met with Roslan, with Rahman, and then we came to met also Sergei, the new Pulitzer 2016. You know, I really decided, and it was the time after we had the photographers' motivations and agreement, and to decide to really curate and work on the exhibition together.
So it started by seeing some photographs taken by one of the photojournalists, and that triggered the whole thing.
Yes, yes, exactly. And also a lot to do, again, Coşkun, we've been around for 40 years. He's been covering a lot of conflict around the world.
Why Exodus? I understand Exodus, but déjà vu?
Well, we were looking for a title who could be not to be translated. So something then it can be really going around the world and everybody can understand. And because I think Exodus is to do about humanity. And déjà vu, because again, I think it's something then everybody understands. But déjà vu because it's already déjà vu. Because refugees, it's a long story. It's a humanity story. So
it recurs. While I was looking at the pictures sent to me through files, and I was looking at these pictures on my laptop, one of my colleagues commented, powerful images, but I'm not sure I want to subject myself to seeing so much misery. Now, I'm going to turn to the photojournalist, both Roland and Rahman. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, this is hiding from the truth somehow. You know, I mean, you cannot avoid, I mean, seeing this around you now in the media every day. And it is really part of our visual environment these days. It's difficult to hide and not to see anything, none of these images.
So not to see is to avoid and therefore sticking our head in the sand?
I think so. I have to be very busy in your own life and not think about anyone else.
Yeah, I would agree with Roland. Also, you know, living in Malaysia, we are a bit far from the conflict, current conflict in the world. But at the same time, you can access the images or the information within seconds. I think Malaysians need to realize before these issues come at your doorstep, you are a part of it. You can't go away from it. You can't close one eye, as we always use the term. In Malaysia, you have to be involved in some way. Like, you know, you have to tell the stories or you have to share. Like by moving away from the images, and when your colleague shared it with you, you already feel like, what kind of images is that? And you feel intrigued to see it. So in some way, you are sharing the information.
How do you yourself shield yourself from being sucked into despair? I guess to some extent what this colleague of mine was saying is that, you know, I don't want to know because it leads me into a place I don't want to go. How do you yourself, taking pictures of images of crisis, seeing suffering all the time, how do you prevent yourself from being sucked into this despair yourself?
You have to be affected. I mean, you cannot totally insulate yourself from what you see. I mean, we are volunteering at first to go and see what's happening and bring back images and be like a messenger in a sense. So we have to take on ourselves to handle it. And of course, I mean, you have also to protect yourself. And in a sense, I mean, try not to be too affected.
What do you do, Roland?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you build up this, I think each of us build up his own way. If you stay a few weeks, I mean, in refugee camps and everything, it really draw you down in a way. Then you get out. You know, you go on some other, reportage and things like this, and you revive. I mean, you just come out and have time to reflect on your work. I mean, we have to adjust, you know, and not fall into the trap of being a victim ourselves.
Yeah, for me, when I go to difficult places where it drains my energy, my emotion, of course, when we go back to our base, you know, which is a city, I went through a period of time where kind of be with myself and try to reflect back. Because when you are photographing, you have a wall in front of you. You are focused on what is going on in front of you, that the emotions might miss that. But then when you go home, then you realize, oh, shit. What have I seen? And then you go through the images as you edit them, and then, you know, you start to think about what's going to happen to this boy. So that kind of thing, it helps to talk to other people, but it's quite difficult as well because not everyone will understand what you're trying to say. I mean, they can try to help you to, you know, cool down, but at the end of the day, you feel frustrated because nobody actually knows. And then you go back to colleague, like people like Roland, when we meet once a year in the festival, then we talk about it. Then, you know, I kind of feel relief. So my way of relieving myself is going to meet like-minded people, same group, photojournalists, have a drink over a conversation. That makes me feel better.
You see these refugees, you see their misery, you see their suffering, you see the struggles they go through. How does that shape how you see the world and humanity?
Would you think that we end up to have like some really negative thought about humanity? Yeah, probably sometime. You know, I mean, you feel when it's really too many wrongs there. But I want to go back a little to the image we were talking before, this harsh image and how we can cope with it. There is always, as well, some kind of distance and space. You know, I tell a story about my image from Cambodia. I mean, this is now 30-something years ago. These days, when I go to Cambodia, every trip I do, I find some people who have been born, children, who have been born in the camp on the border, I mean, 30 years ago. And in fact, they want to see the image. However, you know, harsh or thing, it's part of their history, their life. And they're really happy. They say, oh, great, that somebody have been recording our life at the beginning and everything because we don't know it. I mean, with the distance and with the time, there is another vision of it. And I have seen it in Europe as well with World War II. I mean, with my mother, my parents, and other. All right, it was a hard time when they were under the German and all. But eventually, images are coming to like rebuild some sense of history, and you don't see the pain the same way many, many years later. So eventually, it has really another action. I mean, in time, for keeping history and making people feel safer.
So there is an element of even pleasure seeing these images some 30 years after the fact.
Maybe not pleasure, but at least that curiosity which make it, I was there. I mean, those Khmer, which are like in the 20s. I was born there. I was born there in Kawidang. And I mean, you eventually, I mean, it's thinking, well, this is not luck in a sense, but they were born there.
Yeah, it's like completing the life of the photographs. We take it for a purpose, and then the media take it for propaganda. But then when it really hits, then it was like, that is why I took that photos, because of you guys, you know.
You've been listening to Raman Roslan, Roland Navu, and Patrice Vallette. We've been discussing the documenting of the refugee crisis in the world and the photography exhibition titled Exodus Deja Vu. Coming up, more about the balancing act between documenting crisis and being totally involved. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. There are three people here with me, two photojournalists, Raman Rosalan and Roland Navu, and the organizer of the exhibition on refugees titled Exodus Deja Vu, Patrice Vallette. We've been talking about your perspective on humanity. There's a wall between you. I'm not sure if the red's the right word, but there's a barrier of sorts that protects you, or you create to protect you.
I think it would be more a bamboo curtain than a wall. You know?
Bamboo curtain.
Can be broken.
Yes.
When you are taking these pictures, what goes through your mind?
Well, to be frank, maybe at the time you just press on the shutter, maybe it's just blank because you have processed already the situation. You are in the situation, so your mind is already into working. The situation. So then when you really press the shutter, you have other consideration, which is probably artistic, framing, composition. You want your image to have more weight, carry better the message. So then, for an instant, you are going to have your mind shifting to the technical and of the artistic value of your frame.
Now I can understand when you say there is that bamboo curtain between you and the subject, simply because you are also very concerned with doing your job.
You have to absorb it. If you want to see the image, you have to absorb being with the people. I mean, when you are in whatever the harsh situation, you have to get closer. As we say, you have for getting better picture, usually you say you have to get really close. At the same time, you have to bask yourself into that environment where you are at the time to be able to record it into something which makes sense for you first, and then to have the message coming out, to have the image. The other people, you really have that sense that you want to transmit the link between you, your eyes, the camera, and the people you are photographing, to the people then, when the picture is on the wall and somebody is looking at the image. The dream situation is that link that you build up when you take the picture, you would like it to replicate when the image is on the wall or on the paper and the public. Difficult. Right,
right. It's a delicate ritual.
Balancing act.
You have the bamboo wall between you and your subject, but at the same time, you have to lift up the veil, some sort of trust. You have to gain the trust. So normally, what I'll do is I'll spend my time hanging around as much as I can, if I have time, to basically tell them that I'm here to document what needs to be documented.
So you have a conversation with your subjects.
Sometimes we have a conversation. Sometimes they just know that they need us. Once they see a photographer, they go like, yes, come here, I'll show you.
They want you to document.
Some situation they do. Like, for example, when I went to 2009 to the camp, Chin refugee camp in Putrajaya, I was brought up to the hill by an NGO
worker.
And
who were there? Who were the people there? Who were the refugees?
They were Chin people from Burma. Now you call it Myanmar. So they were there a week before I came. And you have to go there with an NGO worker, because if you go there alone, they will think you're a police or special branch. They will run away. So you go up like about 20 minutes trekking time, and then you realize that there's a whole village there. And once they know that I'm a photographer, they start waking up people like, hey, come on, photographer's here. We have to make use of him to show our condition. So that happens too sometimes.
It does happen, in fact, a lot in a sense. You have to imagine, whether it be Syria now, or like Cambodia border, or Vietnamese border, whatever, at any time, these people are into the complete disarray. They have nothing. They are out of the world. They are not connecting to the world. So when they see the media, the photo reporters or the cameramen coming, that's the first sight that the world is coming to them in a sense. And they do realize that they have to, to get the message out as well, because that's what they get. They don't have any other avenue for showing what situation and despair they are into it. So there is really a sense of connection, because we are there to report the story, but they come to us as well as story got to be told.
They want their story told so that the world can know about what they are going through, and that the world has a responsibility.
Absolutely. But so many times I've felt that, you know, in so many places on earth, you know, really. It's a two-way situation. You are not totally taken, you know, into pieces by situation, because these people accept you. You know, they accept your presence, and they like, I mean, cooperating in a sense to have the message going.
When people cooperate with you, when the refugees say, take photographs of us, I can understand that, you know, that becomes something for you to do, and there is no moral dilemma. When you take pictures of people's suffering and whatever they're going through, sometimes the criticism is that you are objectifying their suffering. And these are people who are suffering, but you are taking a picture, but the glory falls on you, the photographer. They are being, in a way, used. How do you balance that?
I would say, but if it's going to make their life better, save them, have like maybe doctor just in the back are coming because of that and all. So then it's a winning situation for them as well. It's not only the glory falling onto the messenger. I mean, if the message is well sent and well received, it's going to make their life better. So they do have this feeling. And in 1979, in the jungle of Cambodia, between Cambodia and Thailand, I went there before they were allowed to cross over the border.
Yeah, I saw the photograph of yours on the Thai border, yes.
Yes, a big group of people.
And some of them were even looking at the camera.
When I was with some unit of pro-Sihanoukis fighters at the time, the first brigade, I would say, we saw that clearing in the forest in September, really in the middle of rainy season with mosquito and leeches. These people, when they saw me, and there was another Belgium young reporter, there's two white men there, they clap in their hand, thousands of people, they clap in their hand because they saw, we are seeing the word coming here. So maybe we are close to get better and to get relief or anything. Really, I mean, this is as big it was for them than to our surprise.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's not fair to talk about the glory that falls onto the photographer. Because, I mean, recently a photographer died on a battle in Syria. You know, the amount of, I mean, not for me, but my colleagues, right? The amount of that they went through to get to the area where they need to be is absolutely unthinkable. It's crazy. Like, when I was in Syrian border, I wanted to cross. And Koshkun, I met him in Istanbul, he's like, no, you're not going to cross, you're crazy, you know? And I took his advice. But if I was listening to my stupid
little voice
in there, of course you want to cross, because Aleppo is 30 minutes away. You can see the city. So there's something that you can do. And, you know, you, as a photographer, you wanted to, like, what's going on? Because I've been seeing the pictures from the Western photographers. You know, not many Asian photographers managed to be there. So I wanted to see it within a different perspective, because we have a different political background. We have a different upbringing. We might see the crisis in a different way, which is why Patrice said you should go to the camp, because, you know, I would like to see how Asian photographers see the crisis, which is completely eye-opening to me.
When you take pictures of your subjects and they look at you, does that shift from being more of an artistic work as opposed to a documentary? Because documentary seems to suggest a kind of objectivity, that they are there. There is a kind of a wall between the two of you. How do you explain that?
Well, we have both situations in a way, because you want to get the picture where the one you are photographing are not aware of you taking the picture. But sometimes you really want to have them like facing and looking deep into the camera. On the same day, on the same hour, it always happens. You want to have the two way of looking at your subject, you know.
Yeah, for me, whatever works. It depends on the situation. Like, for example, if you want to do a portrait of someone who is already suffering in front of you, you can't really choose. So if he's really looking at you, and that is the most powerful thing you've ever saw, that's the picture. You know, why would you photograph him from behind or something like that? So it depends on the situation itself.
Patrice, who are the other photographers involved in this exhibition?
Well, we have Issa Touma from Aleppo, from Syria. bringing his work before the war was starting. He is actually is a quite particular photographer because he's not a photojournalist. He was the director of the art center, the only art center in Aleppo. And then Shush Kunral, we've been talking about Sergei Ponomarev, Pulitzer 2016. Focus on the two-day crisis, refugees
the Syrian crisis
to Germany from the border of from Greece to Germany, and we have of course Niloufer Demir. Niloufer Demir is bringing this only one image. Every photographer bring six images in the exhibition, and then we also have a book because Exodus Déjà Vu is not just an exhibition; it's a book. And a talk and many activities during the week. And Niloufer is bringing one image. This image, and this is certainly what we were talking about, we're talking about the impact that an image can have on public. Like you were telling us about your friend, how he react when you see the picture. And I can say that this image from Niloufer Demir was actually, for me, putting back the importance of the image and in a way, because some political leaders maybe after looking at this image and especially Merkel and other leaders have been certainly taking decision, maybe not exactly because they were looking at the image, but maybe this image have been making a difference.
This image made its way around social media also.
Yes, it is. It is. And of course, it's creating debate. And I think that's important. And people talk about it. And it's important to create an awareness. And I don't forget anyone, right? Sergei, Roland Neveu, Roslan, Niloufer, Issa Touma, and Shush Kunral.
Now, after the exhibition ends here in Kuala Lumpur, where does it go?
Well, we are now looking at Istanbul, and we are preparing that new city coming up. Still, we have things to do here in KL. Istanbul, Munich, Dresden, Köln, Berlin, Paris. But we actually already have people ringing to bring this project to Singapore and maybe Bangkok.
The exhibition Exodus Déjà Vu will run till Monday, October 10th. It's being held at Ruang by Think City on 2 Jalan Hang Kasturi. A book of the same title has also been launched. The writers are Marina Mahathir and Dr. Murad Erdogan. Admission to the exhibition is free. Of course, you just heard Patrice saying after Kuala Lumpur, the exhibition will travel. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9. Thank you three very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.